Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
.com.
Three receivers left. A.J. Green out to the right. Shotgun snap. Burrow from the 10-yard line. Throws for Green. Penalty flag down. A.J. comes down with the ball. There's no touchdown signal.
Oh,
and he's called for offensive pass interference.
At the top.
That's a 10-second runoff, isn't it?
At the top of the route. At the top of the route, A.J. Green. Oh, man, that is a tough call. At the top of the route. Yeah, I mean, there could be a runoff here in the final 2 minutes of the game.
Bullet 2-for-2 so far today. The snap is good. The kick is wide right.
Oh,
he missed it.
Oh,
and the Chargers hold on to the lead with 2 seconds to go, and Bullock is hurt.
All right, Billy Cunningham and Mo, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. Mo, how are you?
I'm good, Willie. What's going on?
All right, it's about 4:25. About 7:15 p.m. I'm in front of my big screen. I'm watching the greatest quarterback in the history of college football with 60 TDs, 5,600 yards, Heisman Trophy winner, first-team All-American, national champion, MVP, first-round pick who wants to be a Bengal. And he's marching down the field. And I'm saying to the people's judge, my wife, things have finally changed in Bengaldom. Look at this guy perform. Left, right, running the ball. Mixon's running the ball. At the end of the game, here it is. The fans aren't going nuts. No one's there. And I said, when the pass was thrown to A.J. Green, Dan Hard, and it's, And then a cramp, which the announcer said was a pulled hamstring. And we found out later it was a cramp in his non-kicking foot. The kiss of death was administered when the television announcer, a name who eludes me, said, well, this is a chip shot for Bullock. He's 24 of 24 inside the 40. The kick is up. Where is Scott Norwood? It is far right. Now, Mo, were the comments of Ryan Clark after the game on ESPN, this is the Bengals' way. Will this be the Bengals' way for the next 10 years?
I don't think so.
But
if there was a more Bengals way of losing,
I love the look.
If you remember in 2009, the Bengals lost their first game of the season at Paul Brown Stadium on a ball that was tipped, a long pass that was tipped in the air by Leon Hall, and somehow ended up in the hands of Brandon Stokely, who charged into the end zone untouched.
Yes.
And I thought, I'll never see anything like that again. Yesterday took the cake. There's a lot to dissect.
First of all,
I think that by the book, the call on A.J. Green was the correct one. However, that is applied very inconsistently. It was applied inconsistently in yesterday's game. There was a play earlier where Mike Williams of the Chargers, I think, could have been flagged for the exact same thing. There was a play in the game last night, if you were watching
Dallas
and the Rams, on Michael Gallup of the Cowboys, offensive pass interference, where it's not applied consistently enough. And what's interesting is, if we go back to last year, that is something that is possibly reviewable. Now, we're inside 2 minutes, so the Bengals couldn't have thrown a challenge flag, but the officials' offensive and defensive pass interference last year reviewable.
Not this year.
Obviously not this year.
Not this
so
year.
By the letter of the rule, I think the call was correct. A.J. did extend his arm to get separation. The defensive back, Casey Hayward, sold it well, but I think by the letter of the rule, that's the right call. It's just applied really inconsistently. Then you add to it, does a superstar on another team get that call? Do you really throw that flag in that situation? Last year in an NFC playoff game, the Minnesota Vikings win on a walk-off touchdown grab by Elders Kyle Rudolph, who basically did the same thing. And if you were to say, look, that should have been pass interference, the counter to that would have been, look, in that situation, playoff game, game's on the line, you're not going to call that. So I think therein lies the frustration.
Right.
I think therein lies the frustration with that in particular. Then the Randy Bullock thing Randy Bullock's done a good job as the Bengals kicker.
24 of 24. A chip shot.
On average, a 31-yard field goal goes through about 97% of the time. I mean, I felt great. I felt great about them going to overtime. And look, I even did this on social media. I tried to talk myself into, you know, they should throw a pass into the end zone, go for the win. I really can't do that. I thought they made the right decision. But, boy, it's sort of a snapshot of what it's like to be a fan of this organization where what is supposed to go right, what is almost guaranteed to go right, goes wrong.
It reminds me of the 1870s and 1880s. As you know, Bill O'Reilly had him on last night talking about his book, Killing Crazy Horse. And one of the strategies of the U.S. military, which was quite brutal, was to give the Plains Indians anthrax-infused blankets so that in the beginning the Indians would be warm during the winter, but then after a period of time they would get sick. And to become a Bengals fan or a Bengals player means you get anthrax-infused uniforms wearing the stripes. You may come here as a Heisman Trophy winner, like a Carson Palmer or an Archie Griffin or a Joe Burrow. But ultimately, after a period of time, you become Bengalized. You begin to anticipate something. Boy, I didn't see that coming. What the? Yeah. And that look in Joe Burrow's eyes after the game, the look in the interviews after the game, the OC when it happened, that's the Bengals way. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I was sucked in about 7:15, 7:20 thinking, okay, hear that Bengal roar. Why, here we go, brand new, and the same stuff happened that has happened for the past 52 years, and nothing changes. Am I too premature in my condemnation?
I think you're premature in your condemnation of what may happen moving forward. I think you are being completely fair if you say, look, yesterday felt like every other heartbreaking loss this franchise has made us endure.
Yes.
I tend to – it was a gut punch and it was heartbreaking. And if this team is going to even have a remote chance of contending for a playoff spot, that's a game you have to win. Your defense, for the most part, does its job. You have a chance in the fourth quarter. I know home field advantage isn't even close to what it usually is in the NFL, but you're playing at home against a team that offensively is very, very limited. And you've got a chance, like, you've got to win that game. And you can't lose that game because of the mistakes. Joe Burrow made a rookie mistake, an interception on a shovel pass. In all my years of watching football, I think I've seen interceptions on shovel passes maybe three times.
Doesn't happen.
That mistake, that's going to be an outlier. That's not going to be the kind of thing that I think we associate with Joe Burrow.
Well, what if he becomes Bengalized? What if he has that look in his eye? What if his Carson, what happens?
Time will tell. I mean,
how about the overthrow? How about AJ Green touchdown? How about John Ross? How about that?
Well, by Joe's own admission, the overthrow to AJ Green on a ball that should have been a touchdown, he even said after the game, that's a throw that a high school quarterback makes. He's got to make that throw, and I'm willing to bet that over time he will. He will make that throw. Joe Burrow was uneven yesterday. I can handle that. Rookie quarterbacks are going to be uneven. What was frustrating was watching Bobby Hart try to block for him. The right side of this offensive line is a problem, and it was a problem against the team yesterday in the Chargers that have a very good pass rush. It's going to be an immense problem moving forward, and that concerns me. The jury is out on Zach Taylor, but this is a year where we're judging Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor ran the ball on 2nd and 10, I believe, 4 times yesterday. I think one of them was a 2nd and 9. I'd like to see a little bit more aggressiveness. And perhaps as Joe Burrow becomes more comfortable, we start to see a little bit more aggressiveness. But yeah, I mean, look, until they win games consistently, the insinuation that it's the same old Bengals, it's going to be hard to combat.
And
You are going to prove people wrong. The brand of this franchise, we heard it all winter long before the draft. Why would Burrow want to go there?
Right.
Why would a guy want to go play for the Bengals?
Right.
You're going to be Bengalized. It's up to him and them to prove people wrong, and losing a game like yesterday's is certainly not going to help in that effort.
And Joe Mixon is not a fumbler, but he fumbles. The ball bounces a certain way, and who recovers it?
Nick Vigil.
A former Bengal.
Correct.
You can't make it up. I mean, I'm looking at this. Everywhere I look, I see, oh, this is the bank. Ryan Clark just shook his head after the game and said, well, that's the Bengal way. Let's move on. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, even I was sucked in for like 10 minutes, the shovel pass, the recovery fumble, the overthrows, the matador right side of the Bengals line. They're like Spanish matadors. Here comes the Joey Bosa and all these other guys. And then the cramp and the non-kicking leg. That was the key moment. Bolick is 24 of 24. He's not missed a field goal inside the 40. This is a chip shot. As soon as that was said, all right, the cramp in the left leg, and the Bengals lose. And I've seen it for 52 years. Nothing changes. Now, quickly about the Reds and the Big Ten. The Reds, I've analyzed that they have 13 games left. If they get to 9-4, they'll be 500, which means they got to sweep Pittsburgh, win 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee, 2 out of 3 from the White Sox, who are at home, were really good, then 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. Am I being suckered again?
I don't think so. I think you outlined what they have to do, and that starts with this four-game series at home against the Pirates, which begins with 2 games today. I think it's at the bare minimum they have to win 3 out of these next 4, and frankly, if we're really going to talk about this team's chances, I think there's two things that would help. A, sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates. B, the Cardinals and Brewers are going to play each other 5 times this week. We need one team to win all those games. I mean, those are the two teams ahead of Cincinnati. And frankly, I think there's too many teams to leapfrog to really talk about them getting the last wild card spot. You're trying to catch somebody in this division. I think the first thing that has to happen is we have to hope that the Reds take care of business this week against Pittsburgh. Cardinals and Brewers play a doubleheader today and another one on Wednesday. Cardinals missed all those games because of COVID-19, and they're going to play a game today. I think the Cardinals and Brewers are going to play 9 times between now and next Sunday.
Somebody needs to sweep all 9. That's it.
I think you need one team to win an abundance of those games, and obviously the Reds have to take care of business. I worry about them being able to do it now without Sonny Gray. I give them some credit to a degree yesterday because you lose that game on Saturday night. This team hasn't won a series since early August. You're down to a Cardinals team that has wiped the floor with you in recent years. You've gotten the bad news about Sonny Gray. You're trailing 5-3 in the middle innings. And then you have this offensive onslaught. Andrew Miller had the wheels fall off. Suarez hits a homer. Yeah. Aquino hits a homer. And I don't want to say they picked themselves up off the mat, but they're at least, that would have been a knockout blow. I think it would have been hard at this team at 20-27 to really talk about their playoff chances with any amount of seriousness. And I still think it's really hard to do that. But if they can take care of business against a bad team that last weekend, the weekend prior, they only won 2 out of 4 against, then we could talk about their chances over the last 9 games.
What if the Bengals played the Reds?
In what sport?
Pickleball. Somebody would have to win.
I'm still gonna pick the team that has Joe Burrow on it.
All right. What about Big Ten football? They're meeting again this afternoon. 2.5-hour meeting yesterday. I'm watching Notre Dame beat up on Duke. I'm watching UC getting ready this weekend for Austin Peay. I'm watching all these other games being played. I'm watching Cleveland, Cincinnati. I'm watching the Deer Park Wildcats march over Finneytown. I'm watching Colerain get beat again by Princeton for the second time in 14 years. Football is being played everywhere. Will Big Ten play football for real in October?
I feel a lot better about it today than I did before Saturday. You know, it felt like those who cover what's happening with the Big Ten walked away from Saturday saying, this is the first step. There's a series of other steps that have to happen before a vote to get Big Ten football back on the field. But time really is of the essence here. I mean, we're talking about if they vote to bring the sport back, you've got to cobble together a schedule. I think you have to answer questions about other fall sports at Big Ten schools. And then we're talking about possibly them playing on October the 17th. I have felt all along like the optics of this, if this season unfolds successfully, and I think we all hope it does, around the country in the leagues that are playing and in a part of the country that sport is so important to, we end up not having a season at all. I think the optics of that are going to make the Big Ten look awful.
How come Deer Park can figure out how to play, but Taft can't figure it out? And Ohio State can't figure it out, but Elder can figure it out. St. X beats Elder. Princeton beats Colerain. Deer Park beats Finneytown. But somehow Taft and Aiken and West High can't figure it out. And Ohio State can't figure it out. I say put me and you in charge, Mo. We can get it done.
I think Ohio State can figure it out. I don't think it's a matter of Ohio State. I think Ryan Day, the coach there, has said and done all the right things. I don't think it's a matter of Ohio State being able to figure it out. I think it's a matter of them being allowed to figure it out. UC is being allowed to figure it out. Look, this may not work. Who knows? I mean, look, Memphis has already had to cancel a game because of a COVID outbreak. It's not like this season is happening without COVID-19 interfering, but at least give schools a chance. At least give coaching staffs a chance.
Do it.
Give the protocols a chance.
All I'm saying is give peace a chance. That's all I'm saying.
I think we've said about this all along is we're going to use an abundance of caution. And if there are reasons to stop the season, okay, fine. But the players at Ohio State want to play. The kids at Michigan and Penn State and Nebraska and Iowa, all those schools, they want to play. Give them a chance.
Give them
an opportunity to do so.
You got to jump off the ledge. You got to try. Get off Plymouth Rock. Attack Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, Hamburger Hill. We got to try. The idea that we'd be living in the dark, fed crap and simply accept failure is not the American way. Well, Mo, we got to go. I wanted to get your view about this social justice protest, but we don't have time for that. But thanks again for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show. And Deer Park is arising.
I'm thrilled that we don't have time to get my thoughts on social justice.
Mo, thank you very much. It's the Bengal way. Thank you, Mo.
Okay. Willie.
Let's continue now. Can we hear from Dan Hord's classic call at the end?
Three receivers left. A.J. Green out to the right. Shotgun snap. Burrow from the 10-yard line. Throws for Green. Penalty flag down. A.J. comes down with the ball. There's no touchdown signal. And he's called for offensive pass interference. That's a 10-second runoff, isn't it?
At the top of the route, A.J. Green. Oh, man, that is a tough call. At the top of the route. Yeah, I mean, there could be a runoff here in the final 2 minutes of the game.
Bullet 2 for 2 so far today. The snap is good. The kick is wide right.
He missed
it. Chargers hold on to the lead with 2 seconds to go, and Bullock is hurt.
Joe Burrow, welcome to the land of the Bengal. You're not in the Tigers anymore. You're a Bengal on News Radio 700 WLW. All right, Bully Cunningham, the great American. We are blessed to live in interesting times. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, near Amish country. A domestic violence call took place yesterday in which a mother said a boyfriend was threatening her and her daughter, his lover, with a knife. Domestic violence run, which is typical. Police officer shows up. The man brandishes a weapon, which is a knife, in his right hand. This is all on videotape, by the way. Rather large man, African-American. The officer gets out to the sidewalk in front of the little apartment building, keeps yelling at him, drop the knife, drop the knife. He comes at him at a high rate of speed with a large knife in his right hand that's raised. Now, Matt Steinman, what would you do? He'd say he'd run away. But if you're a cop, you can't run away. What do? He pulled the trigger, shot him one time in the chest, and the guy died. Quickly, Black Lives Matter organized a protest/riot to surround police headquarters. We hope in Amish country things calm down tonight. This is on a cam. You can see it. It's obvious. He had a knife, intended to use it, ordered to put it down. Don't do it. Don't do it. Got about 12 feet away, and the officer shot him one time, and he's dead. Riots ensue. Black Lives Matter. Of course, in L.A., Los Angeles County, on Saturday, a gentleman was part of a Black Lives Matter protest about some actions in L.A. They're always protesting something. He decided to take action, having heard, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want them now? And this assailant, this attempted murderer, walked up to a marked L.A. County a police cruiser, a Chevrolet Suburban, and raised his right hand, seemingly with a revolver, or at least a handgun, shot several times, shot a mother, 31-year-old mother, LAPD officer, through the jaw, and shot her partner a couple times in and about the head and the shoulder, and ran off. Black Lives Matter, Lancaster, Ohio. Black Lives Matter, Los Angeles. And so when these issues arise at National Football League games or Major League Baseball games or football, basketball, baseball games, tennis, hockey, whatever it might be, NASCAR, about the organization Black Lives Matter, I have to scratch my head and say, what the hell are we doing? When the Bengals and the Reds have Black Lives Matter, when Bengal players and Reds baseball players support Black Lives Matter, the organization, Inc., not simply the amorphous phrase Black Lives Matter, of course, matter as much as any other life. It doesn't mean you're special, unique, and different. It means you're equal. Equality is the goal. But the goal of the pro athletes is to convince you, as a voting American, to vote Trump out of office. It's not about getting Democrats out of office in suburban and urban areas, correct? I mean, no one in Chicago, Detroit, Columbus, Cincinnati, Austin, Texas, or San Francisco or New York are calling for the voting out of office all the Democrats, right? You think the NFL players and Major League Baseball say vote because they want to vote out of office the Democrats in whose police departments these events transpire? The great majority are justified. The idea that America has an epidemic of racist police shootings is provably false by everyone that's looked at it. It's a lie. But the more you tell a lie, it might become accepted. And I know I've gone over this with you before, but several studies have debunked the common myth of an epidemic of police shootings. For example, in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, proceedings involving Harvard, New York Times, The Washington Post, Michigan State, University of Maryland, have all found the same thing. The most recent study in 2019, police officers killed a total of 235 blacks. Great majority, over 95%, were armed or dangerous out of 1,004 police shootings. That's about 23%. Of those killed by police are black men, armed or unarmed, total number 235. And that means that there's about, that's 23%, about 67% are white Americans, and the rest, shall we say, are Hispanics and others. In the 75 largest U.S. counties, which account for most of the American population, in those 75 large counties, of which Hamilton County is one, blacks constitute about 60% of the robberies and murders, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, as identified by witnesses and their victims, even though blacks comprise in those counties 15% of the population. So 60% of the serious crime committed by African-American males, and they represent 15% of the population. As of June 1st of 2020, what, about 3 months ago, Washington Post has a database of fatal police shootings, showed that there were nine unarmed black victims and 19 unarmed white victims of fatal police shootings so far in 2020. And that number of black unarmed victims is down 76% from 2015 when it began keeping the database. The Washington Post defines unarmed loosely to include suspects who have, it includes suspects who have grabbed an officer's gun or fleeing from a car stop with a loaded semi-automatic pistol. They include those. The nine allegedly unarmed black victims killed by police represent 0.1% of all black homicides, which account for about 8,000 black homicides a year. Of that number, unarmed black victims are under 0.1%. I said zero.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
0.1% under that. Is that an epidemic? And as far as the argument used that a unarmed black man is three times more likely to be shot than an unarmed white man, in a racial group's rate of violent crime that determines police shootings, not the race of the officer or the perpetrator, the more frequently cops encounter violent suspects from any given racial group, the greater the chance that members of that racial group will be shot by police when they get violent. In fact, if there is a bias in police shootings, according to the Washington Post, after crime rates are taken into account, it is against white civilians who are more often shot than black civilians. There's a study from 2018. The authors at Michigan State and University of Maryland, a College Park created a database of in 2018 of 917 officer-involved fatal shootings from 650 different police departments. Every year, about 1,000 are killed. In this one year, there were a total of 917. 55% were white. 27% were black. 19% were Hispanic. The great majority were armed. Threat perception shootings in which an officer shoots an unarmed civilian might be a mistake, such as a cell phone for a gun, were extremely rare. So what I'm saying is that the media is derelict in its duty to inform advocates of a position that the facts they're presenting are wrong. And if the media would actually do that on CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, and the big city newspapers that few people read, it would give context to what's occurring. Because if only thing you watch in life are the protests before the Bengals game, or LeBron James, or protest even during a NASCAR event, that you would think, if you don't have a factual basis for an opinion, that there is an unbridled rash of police shootings or police killings of one type or another, simply based upon race. In every institution, every organization that's looked at it, it's provably false. It is not true. In fact, there's less police shootings than ever before. And you're more likely to get shot if you're white than black. Not compared to the whole population, but those with whom the police have contact. There's about 12% of the population is black, and about 68% is white. However, as far as police shootings, twice as many whites get shot than blacks, even though in the population it's 5.5 times more. So white criminals are shot more often than black criminals, especially by white police officers. They shoot more. And so whether it's George Floyd or what happened to Jacob Blake, that is not an apt example of what happens in police community involvements. It is rare, extremely rare. May I say again, police shootings of unarmed black men, as far as the 8,000 black homicides every year, is well under 0.1%. Put it on a chart and put 0.1% right there by the floor, and then put 8,000 on top of that, which is the ceiling of black-on-black crime. And according to every statistic, crime generally is committed within each racial category. Black on black, white on white, Hispanic on Hispanic, male on male, generally male on female, not so much female on male. So within each racial group, you're 90% or more likely to be killed or assaulted by someone in your racial group. However, when crimes cross racial groups, there are 9 times more assaults and murders from black persons against white persons than white persons against black persons. That, again, is not my opinion. Those are the facts. Now, facts should be stubborn things. Well, when the media constantly amplifies one or two or three or four or five events as indicative of the 8,000 murders, the weak-kneed and the weak-minded begin to think, well, hell, all hell's breaking loose. When was the last time in Cincinnati there was a questionable police shooting? I think it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. It rarely occurs. But this weekend in Chicago, 11 African-American men were murdered and 50 more shot. And do you know any of their names? Can you identify them? One of the most dangerous places to be is at a Black Lives Matter protest. For example, we had the one on Saturday night with the two deputies, assassination style. But before that, July 7th, 2016, Micah Xavier Johnson ambushed and fired upon a group of police officers in Dallas, killing five police officers and injuring nine others. He was a black nationalist who said he wanted to kill white police as retribution for Michael Brown. The officers murdered in Dallas, Officer Lauren Ahrens. Ever hear LeBron James talk about Officer Ahrens? Or Officer Michael Kroll? Or Sergeant Michael Smith? Officer Brent Thompson? Officer Patrick Zamaraba, 32 years old. Haven't heard much about them. A few months later, during a Black Lives Matter protest in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a self-described black nationalist after Black Lives Matter protest. His name is Gavin Eugene Long. Shot six police officers in Baton Rouge in the wake of protest after the shooting of Alton Sterling and Michael Brown. Three died. Three were hospitalized. Corporal Montrell Jackson is dead. Deputy Brad Garofalo is dead. Officer Matthew Gerard, 41 years old, is dead. Long called himself a black separatist, and he wanted revenge on the shooting of black men by cops. He laid in wait and shot six cops. Three died. Ever hear of their names in Major League Baseball? How about NYPD, December 20th of 2014, Ramos and Liu, murdered by a black nationalist having attended Black Lives Matter protest. His name is Ishmael Brinsley. He killed two on-duty police officers in New York City and Brooklyn, walked up, wait for them to enter their patrol car. They were eating lunch, so their hands were occupied. Simply assassinated Rafael Ramos and Juan Liu. And about 6 months ago, I had on the widow of Juan Liu. He was simply a man doing his work. Any comments by the Reds players or the Bengal players about the ambush of all of these police officers? Or the 500 that have been wounded during Black Lives Matter protest. So when I see Black Lives Matter on an NBA court or in the National Football League, there's lots of names that could be put there. Mistakes have happened, of course. What Breonna Taylor was a mistake. And the first shot was fired by her boyfriend, and it shot a police officer and then returned fire. I don't think 20-some shots should have been fired, shall we say, through walls. There were departmental policies that were likely violated by those one or two or three of those Louisville police officers. But let's face it, they had a legal right to be where they were. They were, in a sense, ordered to go there by a judge who told them to employ the no-knock warrant. And they announced their presence according to other tenants in the building. There was one hell of a ruckus going on. And for reasons that are unclear, the Breonna Taylor's boyfriend fired the first shot and hit an officer in the leg, and they returned fire. Now, someday this week or next, according to law enforcement officials I've spoken with, Breonna Taylor, Daniel Cameron, the attorney general, is going to make an announcement, yay or nay, on indicting these officers for murder. The odds are almost non-existent that these officers went there with a specific intent to murder Breonna Taylor. They did not have a culpable mens rea or a mental effect to kill someone. They were doing their job, and they were shot. Then they returned fire. So when I see Black Lives Matter at a baseball game or a basketball game or a football game or a tennis match or a NASCAR event or a hockey, I don't reference the fact that Black Lives Matter. Of course they do. I reference Black Lives Matter, Inc., the protest that have perpetuated itself for many years that have resulted in the murder of a dozen police officers specifically and the injury to hundreds of others. These aren't the times of Martin Luther King Jr. nor Fred Shuttlesworth. Clearly, last night in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, for God's sakes, that is Amish country. Amish country. That an officer on camera shot someone with a knife in their hand coming at the officer to kill him. And they still, Black Lives Matter, organized it, violated the law, and surrounded a police precinct after Black Lives Matter protesters went to St. Francis Hospital in Compton, California, Saturday night to be shouting, "We hope they die," using the F-bomb liberally. And finally, other police officers had to go to clear out in front of a hospital because Black Lives Matter protesters wanted to make sure those two cops were shot in the head were killed. So when I see well-intended individuals talk about Black Lives Matter, I'll tell you what I think of. I think about officers Lou, and I think about Ramos. I think about officers Montrell Jackson and Brad Garofalo and Matthew Gerard Jr. I think about the officers murdered in Dallas, including Lauren Ahrens and Michael Kroll and Michael Smith and Brent Thompson and Patrick Zimarapa. I think about those officers who were murdered by activists having attended Black Lives Matter rallies. That's what I think of. Well, let's continue. I'm done babbling now. I want to hear from you between 1 and 1:30. 1:30, we have Segman and we have news at 2 o'clock. We have an African-American representative from Project 21. Are you satisfied or dissatisfied with the efforts of pro athletes at Paul Brown Stadium or the Great American Ballpark to advance the agenda of Black Lives Matter? Is that acceptable to you? Let's continue with more. Bill Cunningham, The Great American Live at your home of the Reds and the Bengals. If they play each other, who would win? On News Radio 700 WLW. Now, Billy Cunningham, let's continue now. After 1 o'clock today, we have an expert here from Project 21 about what's happening in the federal government that Trump is stopping relative to telling white bureaucrats working in the federal.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Government, how racist they are, and how you must stand up and proclaim your white privilege and how you will give up things of the past in order to be more racially sensitive. That's after 2 o'clock today. And, of course, Reds baseball kicks off a doubleheader on the big one. Kicks off about 3:05, pregame show, first pitch about 4:10, and then they play two against Pittsburgh. But to get back this for a little bit, one of the media games they play is to fact-check practically everything Trump does. We have a fact-check going on. Well, how about fact-checking Joe Biden or fact-checking Beto O'Rourke, who was on CNN a couple days ago? Remember him, the congressman from Texas, who said, quote, "Police shoot blacks solely based on the color of their skin," unquote. Now, normally, when a politician, who, by the way, wants to become the gun czar, did you listen to Sloney this morning? That Joe Biden is going to appoint, quote, a gun czar to take away weapons from those who needed to be defended to make sure only the rich and the privileged have security guards or have homes that need to be defended. And normally, if somebody who's a Republican or, God forbid, Donald Trump would say something, CNN would quickly be there with a fact check of Beto O'Rourke. Quote, "Police shoot blacks solely based on the color of their skin." And also this morning on CNBC, former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg and said that, quote, police shootings of black men won't be solved until we move policing out from the shadows of systemic racism, unquote. Those are the individuals coming with Joe Biden should he win the presidency, which all the experts say Biden's going to win, right? Except those on the Trump train and those on 275 and those with Andy Bucher, who started in southeast Indiana, ended up in Hamilton County, and all the flotillas seem to indicate there's a burgeoning support for law and order. Can you imagine an empty vessel named Joe Biden, who's going to work about 2 hours a day, having things put in front of him to sign when he's incapable mentally of doing the job, from people like Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg and Beto O'Rourke? They're going to be in charge of the federal government. And these major American cities, controlled completely by the Democratic Party, are going to stay completely in control because this move to vote, you got to vote, you got to vote. It isn't vote to throw out the Democrats. It's vote to turn out the Republicans, right? The real problem is in democratically controlled blue cities without a functioning public education system, without functioning economic growth to have jobs, and with a police division that has been castrated to such an extent, many are afraid to leave their cars. Now they're getting shot inside their cars. The passivity of police in urban areas is causing a rampant increase in crime, the victims being black folks who need cops in urban areas. You need cops in high crime areas more than many need cops in Mason or Westchester or Independence. I mean, cops are important there too. But it's not as if shots are being fired all over Independence, Kentucky, or Westchester, Ohio on a regular basis. It is somewhat rare. When I had on my guest from Chicago about 3 weeks ago, he pointed out that Cincinnati, per 100,000 residents, is much more violent than Chicago, whether it's a shooting or someone being wounded. And we haven't talked about shots fired that doesn't actually hit somebody. That's what's happening in Cincinnati. And so normally CNN would fact check somebody who'd make an obviously factually stupid comment, but not when it's a Democrat. Not when it's Nancy Pelosi, or not when it's Chuck Schumer or Joe Biden. And so what happened this weekend on Saturday with 275, about 90 miles around the beltway, according to one account, there was 12,000 people. And I'm encouraged by that. What happened in southeastern Indiana, what happens on the Ohio River, what happened in and around New Richmond, Ohio, it kind of gives me hope that there's 4 to 5% of us that get what's going on, black and white, and we can't allow this to continue. Because we're being told, in a sense, on September 14th, don't bother voting for Trump, starting voting in Ohio in about 3 weeks, because it doesn't make any difference. Trump's going to lose. And there's not one poll that has Trump winning Ohio in 2020. I haven't seen one. I look at all the experts. Trump can't win. Impossible. He can't win. Ohio, of course, if he loses Ohio, he can't win the presidency, obviously. Same thing I heard in 2016. And I was drinking the Kool-Aid for a while in 2016, saying, you know what, Trump can't win. Hell, a lot of his own people told me Trump can't win. And I didn't think it was possible that Trump could beat Hillary Clinton. And Joe Biden is a much worse candidate than Hillary Clinton. At least Hillary knew what she wanted to do. On the other hand, Biden has no idea what he wants to do. No idea. He's clueless. He wants to put Beto O'Rourke in charge of your Second Amendment rights. He wants to put someone in charge of police shootings. If you're a cop, especially a white cop or a black cop, why in the hell would you pull anybody over? Why get into any mix-up? Why do it at all? Why put yourself and your family through that when you might be murdered sitting in your police car, much less actually trying to arrest someone? If what happened last night in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Amish country, is indicative of the climate today where an officer cannot shoot someone charging him on a sidewalk with a large knife in his right hand, you can't shoot that person one time? Why would a cop pull anybody over? On almost every circumstance, the civilian who was shot began the process that resulted in his homicide or mortal wounding It began with that person not following the law or living a criminal life or resisting arrest or beating a cop, like Michael Brown in Ferguson, who beat the crap out of police officer Darren Wilson by reaching into his police cruiser and pounding him, reaching for his weapon. That's how Michael Brown started that. And as far as Blake, Jacob Blake in Kenosha, obviously he was wanted for a rape charge and a bunch of other offenses, having already committed similar offenses in the past. And he rolled around the grass, having cops in a headlock, was tased twice. I don't know about getting shot seven times. I'm with you on that. Maybe one or two or three, I don't know, in the back, whatever it is. It was determined he was shot in the back because that's the position that Blake put himself in. And with George Floyd, he had 3 times the level of fentanyl in his system. It violated the law, literally foaming at the mouth with COVID-19. He wouldn't get in the police car. Now, Officer Derek Chauvin should not have kneed him for 8 minutes and 46 seconds with his head pressed into the pavement. That was wrong. But by the time it goes to trial, that didn't cause his death because he could breathe during that. He was talking. It was painful. Shouldn't have happened. I don't know what that offense is. Is it negligent homicide causing the death of another while committing a negligent act? Yeah, that's possible. Murder? Ain't no way. He had no intent to kill him. Just the opposite. If they had Narcan on him, likely Floyd would still be alive and his family wouldn't have $15 million on a GoFundMe page. $15 million GoFundMe page. So when these so-called athletic experts talk about police community relations, are they ever called out by the interviewer about the facts that it is much more likely to be killed because of your behavior if you're white than black? It's the racial group's rate of violent crime that determines police shootings, not the race of the perpetrator or the officer. It's what the person does. And because in urban areas, the great majority of crime is committed by black males, by any fair estimate, the great majority. That's why pro-rata to the whole population, one might have the wrong argument that you're 3 times more likely to get shot than if you're white because they take the whole black-white population in general, not those the police come in contact with. If anything, you're less likely to be shot statistically than if you're black than white, according to the Department of Justice, Harvard, Washington Post, New York Times, Michigan State, University of Maryland. It is without doubt true. And almost every time, the person who was injured or killed by police refused to comply with police orders that began the process by which they were killed or wounded. All George Blake had to do, George Floyd had to do, or Jacob Blake, all they had to do was comply with the officer, but neither one of them wanted to go back to jail. And why you would walk away from two police officers, been tased twice, ordered to stop, then reach in your car, not to get in with 3 babies in there. The police could not let him just pull off with those children. Couldn't do it. So it's just amazing. So let's take some calls. And when good things happen with Trump and is ignored, when something can be twisted or turned to a bad thing, it happens. If Trump, I've had many women tell me that if Trump loses, it's his own damn fault for not playing the political game and having so-called swing voters by his rhetoric and his tweeting come to his side. Damn it, his policies work. Absolutely. If he had Ronald Reagan's personality and Trump's policies, he'd get 60% of the vote. At times, he's his own worst enemy. By saying things in refutation to his actual policies, all of which work. They work. And if Joe Biden seizes power, he'll be governed by AOC, Nancy Pelosi, Pete Buttigieg, Beto O'Rourke, and others who are not Democrats. They're socialist, tending toward communist. That's what they are, by any fair estimate. That is what they are. And the media and the professional athletes, the Bengals and the Reds, have thrown their lot with individuals who would seek to tear down the United States of America called Black Lives Matter, Inc. / Antifa. That's what's happening. And I don't need to be preached to by a 25-year-old multimillionaire who doesn't know the facts of which he speaks. And I'm amazed that a media will not fact-check individuals who say factually stupid things as if they're accurate, then base actions upon it. I would assume that the attempted murderer, the coward, who walked up to try...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To assassinate in their police car two L.A. County sheriffs having just come from a Black Lives Matter protest has no clue what's happening in the real world. No clue. And those who do understand this, like Beto O'Rourke and Pete Buttigieg and others on the left, on the socialistic side, know the facts, but they want to mislead the easily misled into believing lies as an excuse to seize power and control the budgets of the United States to pay off all the debts run up in the blue states paid for by you, and to destroy Donald Trump and ultimately to put him in jail. What they want to do is lock up Trump once he leaves office, either in the state of New York or federally. That's what they want to do. And a so-called action by the president to pardon himself or others would not work whatsoever in the state of New York, because the federal authorities have nothing to do with New York, and New York state officials want Donald Trump locked up for what he's done, okay? And it is so important that this president win this election, not because he has great tweets or because he speaks well, but because his policies work for everyone. Let's take a short break. We have Bonnie will be first, and then Joe and many others if a line becomes available, which it never does. 513-749-7000. Every study has disproven the idea that white police officers are biased in shooting black citizens, and the Black Lives Matter narrative has been impervious to the truth. Police departments, cops are under tremendous pressure based to hire and to recruit and to promote based upon race, and that's it. And it's sad. In Cincinnati, we got systemic racism everywhere. Who's in charge of this systemic racism? That would be the black police chief. Does anyone believe that? That's a bunch of crap. Well, let's continue. Take some calls next, and we'll see what occurs. Coming up at the top of the next hour is Vince Ellison, who's with Project 21. Black conservatives who understands the election of Trump is essential to the success of black families going forward. And lastly, I'll leave you with this thought from your good friend and mine, Booker T. Washington, from 1911. 1911, over 109 years ago. This is what he said, quote, "There is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays them money. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs." Unquote, quote, unquote. This was in refutation to one Marcus Garvey. Booker T. Washington was right then, and he's also right now, more than 100 years later. And lastly, as Matt Steinman knows, no greater source than Barack Hussein Obama said in 2008 in his speech on Father's Day, quote, "Black kids who grew up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty, 6 times more likely to commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of schools, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison," unquote, Barack Obama. That what the black family needs are black fathers in the home and marriages. That's what's needed. Now, he dropped that idea quickly when it looked like he might lose re-election in 2012. Let's continue with your calls. The Trump train must roll, or America's existence is in great peril. On News Radio 700 WLW.
It's a zone read, then a throw caught by A.J. Green for the Bengals' first down of the year. A.J. hauls it in at the 31, his first catch in 651 days. As Burrow waits for the shotgun snap on 2nd and 10 from the Chargers 23, he runs a quarterback draw. Nice. Trey Hopkins with a great pass.
Get
the 10, 5, touchdown.
Beauty.
As Joe Burrow's first NFL touchdown comes on a 23-yard run on a beautifully called quarterback draw. 2nd down and 8 in Bengals territory. Tyrod Taylor under pressure,
nice.
And he'll be sacked. It's a short loss on the play. Carl Lawson knocked him down for a 1-yard loss. 4th and less than a yard. Tyrod Taylor stamps his foot. He runs a quarterback sneak.
No. Did he get
down? Bengals have started celebrating.
I think
it all depends
short.
On the spot. Here comes the measurement.
Gotta be short.
It is. Three receivers left. A.J. Green out to the right. Shotgun snap. Burrow from the 10-yard line. Throws for Green. Penalty flag down. A.J. comes down with the ball. There's no touchdown signal. And he's called for offensive pass interference.
At the top.
That's a 10-second runoff, isn't it?
At the top of the route, A.J. Green. Oh, man, that is a tough call. At the top of the route. Yeah, I mean, there could be a runoff here in the final 2 minutes of the game.
Bullet 2 for 2 so far today. The snap is good. The kick is wide right.
Oh,
he missed it. Chargers hold on to the lead with 2 seconds to go. And Bullock is hurt.
Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Oh, for you, bonehead.
The classic is Dave Lapham. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Willie, just Bullock. When you think...
I've seen it all.
...that the era begins for number 9, you think they'd just be able to get over that hump with the A.J. Green touchdown pass or Bullock with the field goal to win it?
No.
Or to send it in.
Joe Mixon fumble. Who recovers the fumble?
Nick Vigil.
Former Bengal.
And that's what... Joe Mixon hadn't
fumbled
in like 5,000 carries, right, since grade school.
The television announcer said, well, this is a chip shot. 24 of 24 is a Bullock. He's got a pulled hamstring. What it was a cramp in his non-kicking foot as he planted the foot. How's that possible, Scott Norwood style?
He is undergoing tests today, Willie, on the left calf.
Wait a minute. He did grab the wrong foot. He grabbed a foot that wasn't in pain.
Ouch.
Sources
say it is not serious.
A cramp.
They're going to work him out they're going to work him out before then and have a plan B if he can't go. But you think you got problems in kicking? The Browns have already, they said, see you later, Austin Seibert. They moved in Cody Parkey. Because Seibert missed a field goal and an extra point, it wouldn't have made much difference because Cleveland got their you-know-what kicked yesterday.
It's a good thing they're playing Cleveland, but only one team's going to leave Thursday night alive.
That's for sure. Battle of Ohio Part 1, but that move also keeps the Bengals from snagging Parkey off the Browns' practice squad.
Well?
I don't know what to tell you, but more tonight on Bengals line 6-9.
Wait a minute,
ESPN,
is Joe Burrow...
15-30.
Bengal eyes. You get that look in your eye.
No, not yet.
Did you hear Ryan Clark on ESPN after the game?
Yes.
He said that's the Bengals' way.
Well.
To find new ways of losing football games.
Shut up.
He may be a Tiger, but he's not a Bengal. He was Bengal eyes yesterday.
Well, yeah, the Stooge Report is a proud service of your local Tempstar heating and air conditioning dealers. Tempstar. Quality you can feel in beautiful Western Hills. Call Durbin Heating and Cooling 598-8449 or go to DurbanHeatingandCooling.com.
Sports!
So let's go to some high school scores and my predictions from Friday night. Of course,
all right.
Hughes,
let's do that.
Taft, Schroeder, Western Hills, Walnut.
They didn't play.
Today at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, we may find out.
Wait a minute. No. One big note over the weekend, Willie. FC Cincinnati, our beloved MLS team, snapped their 557-minute goalless streak. But they fall to New York City FC 2-1.
I watched the goal. I watched some of the match.
It makes, yeah, to get that ball and put it in the offices.
It kind of makes paint drying look interesting.
Friday night, the park.
Number one.
Rolled.
Where's Chip Hart?
Beating Finneytown 46-12. I think Chip Hart is hiding.
Hot Fudge
well,
Sunday.
You know what? I take that back.
UDF.
I bet you he'll be here Thursday with your Sunday.
Mark Shear says.
UDF?
Yes, UDF.
Okay.
Hot Fudge Sunday with chocolate ice cream, please, yeah. Chip Hart. If your wife lets you leave the house because you've been thoroughly neutered by Vicky.
Princeton beat Colerain. The Cardinals had a big lead let go in the fourth quarter. The first time the Vikings went over the Cardinals since Bill Clinton was president.
Not Hillary.
Correct. St. X beat Elder.
In the
Roger
pit.
Bacon, 82-28 at running back they got. That's headed
going to
LSU. Yeah.
LSU.
Louisville Trinity beat Moeller 44-7.
Uh-oh. Why doesn't Deer Park start scheduling Moeller to beat them?
Clinton Massey beat Western Brown. Western Brown a week ago scored, 66 points and lost?
No, it was 77 for New Richmond
and
61.
Right. Well, Western Brown put 54.
They won that game.
No. Clinton Massey won 86-54.
Are they socially distant on the defense?
So you're saying
when Clinton Massey, the home of Bill Will, scored how many points?
86.
In a high school football game?
That's what it says.
That's more than the basketball team
scores. According to Richard Skinner at Local 12.
Now Skinny knows everything.
Reds update, Willie. Reds take 2 out of 3 against St. Louis. But the final homestand of the season begins tonight. Today. Trevor Bauer and Anthony DeSclafani and the twin bill, 3-10. The Pirates, White Sox, and Brewers. The next 10 games.
I've analyzed it, Seg. They have 13 games remaining.
They better win them all.
They got to go 9-4 to get to 500.
Yep.
Then they can go to the playoffs.
Well, guess who's back?
Not Nick Senzel.
Correct. He starts in center. He's off the injured list.
What about Shogo?
Starting in center field, hitting 7th in game 1. He's been out since August 19th.
What's wrong with him?
Who?
Senzel.
I don't know. They never have said. Matt Bowman will have a Tommy John surgery later this week.
Who?
Matt Bowman, a pitcher.
Never heard of him.
Jesse Winker's going to do a pregame workout to test his back. He's hopeful, the Reds are hopeful that he'll be available off the bench in these doubleheader games.
They need to win 4 against Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then go 2 or 3 against Milwaukee here. Then beat the Sox 2 or 3.
Well,
then go to Minnesota and win 1 of 3. That makes it 9-4. That's 500. They go to the playoffs. Can they do that? They got to sweep today.
I hope.
If they don't sweep today, it's over.
Correct. And all is not lost, Willie, with the Bengals' loss yesterday.
Why do you say that?
Because all of these quarterbacks lost in their rookie debut.
Not the way the Bengals lost.
Well, they lost.
But not the way.
It doesn't make any difference. If you win, you lose. It doesn't make any difference, right?
It's the Bengals' way.
Peyton Manning.
Lost.
Russell Wilson.
Pretty good. Lost.
Cam Newton.
Lost.
And they're doing pretty good right now, aren't they?
I bet you can give me other quarterbacks that lost that are doing terrible.
And according to Lance, who knows everything, yesterday was the first time Joe Burrow had lost in 659 days.
He's a Bengal.
November 24th of 2018, a 7 overtime loss, 74-72 to Texas A&M.
That's a Clinton Massey score, but I saw that game.
So there you go right there.
Is he Bengalized at this point? Does he have that look in his eye like, what the?
Now they can really put the Browns away with a win on Thursday. The Browns would go 0-2 and then also winless in the division.
And the Eagles aren't very good.
Let's see.
Then on the other hand, Baltimore looks impregnable.
That too.
I mean,
That's what she said. Let's see.
They look real good.
How about the Washington football team? Town 17-0. They reel off 27 unanswered.
Is that the only team in that division to win the Washington?
Aaron Rodgers knocks off Minnesota.
I saw that with Mike Zimmer.
Let's see. He wasn't happy.
No.
Drew Brees beat Tom Brady in the Old Man Quarterback Bowl yesterday. Arizona won at San Francisco. That's an upset.
How bad is Colerain?
Well, they're 1-2.
Simon Kenton. Did they win or lose?
I didn't write that one down.
What about Highlands lost to Covecath?
Well, and also former Miami kicker Sam Sloman with 2 field goals last night as the Rams beat the Cowboys. and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are all hot over that non-pass interference call near the end of the game.
Well, what about the call on A.J. Green?
Well, what I want to know is how come the referee that's looking right at him doesn't make the call, but the guy behind the play makes the call. He's 10 yards behind him in the end zone.
It's because it's the Bengals' way.
It's an outrage.
It's the Bengals' way. Well, Seg, who wins in a matchup? Bengals versus Reds.
Who quarterbacks the Reds? Eugenio Suarez?
I'd have to say that guy.
Or no, you know who would quarterback the Reds? Trevor Bauer.
Well, tell me who wins. Reds versus Bengals.
And you have the Punisher as one wide receiver. You would have...
Who can pitch for the Bengals?
Ooh, well...
I'd say set up a softball match and see who wins.
Bring back the Coors Light All-Stars and see what happens.
Give us out of retirement. Let's go. We had one hell of a team.
But you can't do that now because no players would show up because they would get hurt.
Jeez.
Even in an exhibition game.
What about Deer Park playing Colrain, Deer Park playing Mueller, Deer Park playing Simon Kenton?
Help me.
Thank you, Cowboy.
How about Deer Park going to the GCL South and lighting up that division? Because St. X now, I think, is wanted. Mueller's done. Right?
Well, I think they're like 1-2 or something. But let's see. LaSalle won over Lakota East. Lakota West is 2-0 under Tom Bolton. And let's see.
You got to go back to Colrain.
And St. X outgunned Mueller, or outgunned Elder 38-24 Friday.
In the pit.
Correct.
I'm getting on St. X's side.
Steve Speck doesn't mess around. He goes to the pit and said, "We're coming in. Here comes the Bombers."
Yeah.
Where's Rocky Boyman, by the way?
But Speck told Rocky to tell me that one of my former female managers at Willie's in Kenwood is the mother of one of the players at St. X. So when I heard
you're not going to be ripping on St. X anymore.
I'm not ripping St. X anymore. That woman did one hell of a job. She was She was in her 20s. She's now in her 40s. And she's the mother of a St. X boy. That's it. I'm now a Bomber. No question. That's why I want St. X to play Deer Park to upgrade St. X's schedule a little bit.
Well, there you go. I mean, and the Rock had a heck of a college football game
Texas
over the weekend.
State, so, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We got Joe Biden speaking right now. He's babbling and drooling.
Oh, boy. Is the teleprompter break yet?
They call it the Trump hurricanes, the Trump fires, started by lightning and arsonists.
Speaking of the Trumpster, somebody said that you were leading the way with Ted McKay and the Trump parade on Saturday around the 275 loop. Is that true or not?
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all.
You know what day it is.
You don't know where he is.
Can you confirm or deny that?
Can't say.
Okay.
You have been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. Lying, dog-faced pony soldier. What the hell's that?
I don't know.
Sounds like Festus with Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
All right, Segman, thank you. Coming up next, we have Vince Ellison from Project 21 about white supremacy and white privilege that you've benefited from your whole life, Segman. You're benefiting from white privilege just sitting there.
Oh,
and you need to be preached to about
a plump microphone stand
about your whiteness.
Okay.
Most poor people in America are white, but that don't make any difference. Don't confuse me with the facts. Okay.
I
want my opinion, and God bless anyone can change an opinion. So let's see what happens. Burrow had the same completion percentage as Tom Brady yesterday. How about that little factoid? Mm-hmm. And Burrow was fine except overthrew Ross.
Overthrew A.J. Green.
Ross should have caught that.
Yes.
And then how about the shovel pass?
I don't know. I guess he thought that guy was invisible at 365
pounds. You're already in field goal range, right?
And one of the Bengals' offensive linemen was like a bull.
They were downfield.
Bobby Hart couldn't handle Joey Bosa.
We call him...
He was Olaying him all day long.
Call him the Matador.
He was a bullfighter.
Call him the Matador.
That's for sure.
Segman, get me out of the Stooge Report. Coming up next is a black conservative speaking to white Americans about white privilege that you suffer from, Segman, and your white supremacy. Okay?
Willie, in honor of a beautiful day here in a tri-state, and let's play two. And let's go Bengals on Thursday night in the Battle of Ohio, Part 1.
Remember, Trump causes the lightning strikes, and Trump causes the arsonist, and Trump causes the hurricanes, and Trump causes the earthquakes, okay?
We leave you with the immortal words of the Stooge Report.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's when you think about it.
He doesn't. Segman, we're in trouble. If that guy wins, I tell you what, I said this last night with your friend of mine, Bill O'Reilly.
Yep.
September 29th, if that guy appears and makes sense for an hour and a half with Trump, Trump's in trouble. If on the other hand...
I mean, that's the first debate, huh?
September 29th in Cleveland.
Boy. Oh, boy. In Cleveland.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Action.
If on the other hand, he appears like that guy...
Bingo.
Let's continue with more. Bill Cunningham, the great American. Coming up, we have thousands on the hold. Millions are listening. I will go to the calls at some point on News Radio 700 WLW.
They're playing in primetime.
Bengals!
Joe Burrow and his Bengals head north to battle the Browns in a big, bad Buckeye State throwdown.
Touchdown!
Yes! Dandy Dan Horde and Dangerous Dave Lapham have the action.
Wow!
Coverage begins Thursday with Lance McAllister at 6 on 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
I make a rich woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl. I wanna be yours, pretty baby. Yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Billy Cunningham, the great American, with all the stuff happening the last several days, with all the new bombshells and disclosures about Trump. Of course, none about Joe Biden being mentally incompetent. That doesn't matter. But 2 years ago, what happened? Did he call a soldier? Soldier's bad name. Everyone refutes that. The media doesn't care. Now with the Woodward book coming out, oh, my God, look at this. This is terrible. And, of course, Trump said the same stuff about COVID-19 in real time, the same things that Nancy Pelosi said and Dr. Anthony Fauci said and Mayor de Blasio said and other Democrats said the same stuff. But nonetheless, facts don't matter. Something else occurred, and that is, unbeknownst to many of us, there's a radical philosophy, which is in federal employment in many universities, that deal with critical race theory. And I'm thinking, okay, what is critical race theory? Well, it essentially says that if you're white, that, that your skin color determines your characteristics and your behavior due solely to your race. So if you're white, you act a certain way. And if you're black, you're a victim and you act a certain way. By my definition, that is the classic definition of racism. Claiming that people have characteristics or behaviors due solely to their race is by itself racism. So one person who's written on this, and I've seen him on many of the cable shows, is Vince Ellison of Project 21. And Vince Ellison, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. And Vince, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Now, for those who may not know what we're talking about, we see this permeating throughout the colleges and universities where if you're male, you're guilty, and if you're female, you're obviously a victim and you can't tell a lie about what happened to you. But in the area of critical race theory, explain to Tony Bender and many others, what is critical race theory as practice and training in the federal government?
Well, critical race theory is just a concept that says that racism and white supremacy is so innate in America that even with white people, it's subconscious. And we have to give you guys classes to recognize your racism so you can pull back and allow us to catch up with you. see, Bill, you're oppressing me right now.
Right now I am. Oh, am I triggering you somehow? Am I triggering you?
Yeah. You're just oppressing the hell out of me right now, and I don't like it, okay? And you got to cut that out. And I don't know if you know how to cut it out or not, so I've got to get you to say that in a class so you can recognize when your microaggressions and your whiteness is triggering me.
I'll say that again.
You can pull. I have to give you a class, okay, so that you can understand when your whiteness and your privilege is triggering me and causing me to be inferior.
So if I'm working in the Department of Education or Department of Defense, the federal government spends tens of millions of dollars a year to take its so-called white employees.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Employees, put them in a classroom setting for hours, and you have to do that to keep your job. This has been going on for years, accelerated under Obama. And so if I'm sitting in a class and I'm a white guy, even though I got 5% African ancestry, I'm still a white guy. I look white. I act white. I think white, according to the critical race theorist, that I have to be sitting in the class, even though if I treat you well, even though the great American, Bill Cunningham, had practiced law in a black law firm, even though most of my clients criminally have been black, even though I think I'm as race neutral as I can be, I still have insipid, quiet qualities that I'm so stupid and so racist, I don't even know I got these things. I'm so ignorant,
exactly.
I don't even know it. And so I sit there, and what am I being told by these race theorists, and they're getting paid millions of dollars to tell me what?
They're getting paid millions of dollars to tell you that you are still a racist, and that is your responsibility to make me as a black man, or a 6'8", 250-pound black man, $1 million in the bank, like, it's your job to make him feel secure in his blackness. It is not his job to feel secure in his own blackness. See, LeBron walks around telling everybody that he's scared in America. Okay?
He's scared. Yeah, LeBron James is scared. He's scared.
Yeah. He's scared. He's 6'8". 250 pounds.
He's scared.
Got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, but he's scared. Now listen, the National Review put out a study that said that a black man had a better chance of getting struck by lightning than getting shot by police officers. Nevertheless, the left has used this canard to deflect away from the fact that they have created a dystopia in black America, and that they are responsible for destroying the family, the economy, our religion, our political structure, you name it, they've destroyed it. And when people turn around and say, okay, guys, we've been doing what you've been telling us to do for the past 50 years, what's wrong? They say, it's those dirty white conservatives. Now, see, that's what they told me, Bill. I was born on a cotton plantation in Haywood County, Tennessee. And my father was a sharecropper, but he bought us out of poverty by working in the insurance industry,
yeah.
And he made his money there. And I was raised in an upper middle class household until I started working in the prison system and saw how the children of the welfare state were going to jail. And when I asked the black intelligentsia what was going on, they told me that it was rich white conservatives that hated black people. But I found out after starting a nonprofit that it was this group called the Iron Triangle. Most black preachers, most black civic organizers, and most black politicians, and they were hired by rich white liberals to do one thing, and that is to make sure they voted for them every 2 years.
Yeah.
And they kept them under control. This group of black traitors, most black preachers, black politicians, most black civic organizers like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and they are paid by these rich white liberals to go into the black community and tell them absolute lies about conservatives. Now, Rick, and conservatives need to understand this. You have nothing more to apologize for.
I don't have to apologize anymore for South Africa or for Jim Crow or for lynchings and slavery.
Nothing.
Bill Cunningham and other white people, we're not responsible?
No, you're not responsible.
I'm not. Oh, good.
No. Everything that's wrong in the black community can be fixed in the black community. We are making choices now. And just like Steve Covey said in his book, the seven habits of highly effective people. He said that people that are reactive are going to always find someone to blame. They're going to always be victims, even if they have to imagine them. So now they have this canard of this imaginary racism coming from white society, and there's not a white person in the ghetto. And if there is systematic racism in America, it's coming from the left.
All right, now,
no power in the black community.
Now, Vince Ellison, you say, quote, critical race theory argues that when it comes to improving their lives and controlling black outcomes, African-Americans are powerless and must rely upon the forbearance and the tolerance of racist and government interference, and therefore gives value to the lie of black inferiority and white supremacy. So those liberals teaching it are telling black kids and others, guess what? You're nothing, you're dirt, you're powerless. Until a white person gives you the ability to raise yourself up to their level, that by itself is racism. It's unbelievable.
It and that is the reason why we're still at the bottom of area socioeconomic statistics in America. Listen, Thomas Jefferson said a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to a democracy. And right now, we have get so much bad information. Do you know we've had 31 people that have died in these riots since they started this past May? 31 people died, and they only had 8 black men killed by police last year in 2019. They're killing more people in these riots than black policemen have ever killed. It's ridiculous, but they have something to deflect from the fact that you're watching a cultural genocide in real time. They are destroying the black community. These leftists are destroying it, and they say they're proud of it.
Yeah.
They're proud of what they're doing.
In fact, it's justification. This is Donald Trump's America, the implication being if you elect Trump again, the riots will continue to proliferate in cities controlled by white liberals and black police chiefs. You say that, quote, dwelling on whiteness and white supremacy now has the same physiological impact that the N-word did during slavery and segregation. It creates a superiority-inferiority relationship that implies that white people have to give minorities permission to succeed. As a black American, I've always believed what I think about myself is more important than what others think about me. So the whole basis of white liberalism today is to say that we're white supremacists, we're the racist, and you're black folks. You can't make it until we give you permission to succeed. And until that happens, guess what? You're going to be living in the dirt, fed crap. You're going to be in lousy public schools with no police department, no jobs available, and that's been going on for 50 to 100 years. And the only way to change that is to keep voting for the same folks who put you in the ditch in the first place.
Bill, you hit it right on the head, and it's insanity. The insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. This is 1860 all over again. These same people have been in control of the black community since 1800. From 1800 to 1860, they had the overseer's whip and slavery. Confederacy from 1865 to 1965, Ku Klux Klan, Jim Crow, murder, rape, and now they got abortion, they got Antifa, they got BLM. They have always gotten their power off the backs of black people. They've always used violence, they've always used intimidation, and they've always used murder. This has been their stick for the past 220 years. I wrote a book on it. The book is called The Iron Triangle, and it tells all of America why black people have suffered such a difficult time breaking off from these folks. It's Stockholm Syndrome, it's cognitive dissonance, and it's the Iron Triangle. And it's this other thing, the fact that conservatives do not show up. There's an old Vaudevillian term that says 90% of any gig is just showing up, and we do not show up. You're one of the few that do, Bill, and that's why I love you.
Thank you.
You're a strong man. You tell the truth. You go out there and you talk to anybody, and you say it loud and with conviction, and you keep on doing your thing, and maybe they'll sooner or later catch up with you.
The implication is come November the 3rd, if black folks somehow vote for Trump in large numbers, the riots that are happening in every major city controlled by the philosophy of slavery, Jim Crow, and Section 8 housing, that philosophy for 200 years. If you don't vote the right way, which is Joe Biden, there's going to be more riots. And the media keeps playing into that narrative by acting as if we deserve to be rioted upon. I spent many years in New York City doing my television show, and I saw a functioning, beautiful part of Manhattan. Now I'm told by my buddies in New York City, you can't even walk the streets without seeing poop, urine, and the homeless and drug addiction. The stores are boarded up. Same thing in the Magnificent Mile in Chicago. Same thing out west. that the philosophy who brought the slaves to America, and when they were freed by Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War, for 100 years, the same philosophy of lynchings and Jim Crow now controls the cities, and they're continuing to sell the same crap to black folks, and they bought it for 200 years. And so here's the big question, Vince Ellison. Vince Ellison, will black folks figure this out on or about November the 3rd?
Many will. Trump is going to get more other black votes than anybody has gotten in a very, very long time. He's the first person to talk to the black community since Abraham Lincoln in 1865. It's been a shame what the GOP and what the right has done in not bringing the cure to the problem to the African-American community. They've had choices in their elections, and their choices has been a liberal and an ultra-liberal. I guarantee you, if you check now with the people that are running these elections right now, you'll find that if you find a conservative versus a liberal, the liberal has more money in the black community than he can shake a stick at, and the conservative can barely get gas money because they will not support him in these races.
Right.
How can you hear without a preacher, Bill? And how can he preach unless he be sent? And they don't send people down here to give this information to these people. And if the people can't get it, they cannot act upon it. And right now, that's part of what we're doing, what you're doing. We're getting the information out, and for the first time, we're using the internet. We're using social media. We're using other tools to jump over the gatekeepers who've been there for so many years, and we're getting the message out to the American people and to these people in these inner cities for the first time probably in the last 100 years.
Lastly, we have about a minute remaining, Vince Ellison. You've written about looting, riots, obliterated the arguments against gun rights. When I go to a gun shop, and I love my little Betsy, I got my 380, I got my P238, I got my P930, I love my little weapons. When I go there, I see more and more black folks buying guns and ammunition, and especially black females. How can your liberals say on one hand, give up your guns, and on the other hand, defund the police?
Yeah, it's crazy. Why don't you just tell them to just blow their own brains out, right?
Yeah.
Your freedom to defend yourself is an unalienable right. It's given to you by God. When these young folks walk around here saying, we're not free, we're not free, they need to read John Locke's Second Treaty of Government that says that your freedom is an unalienable right given to you by God. It is irrevocable. It is non-transferable. It is unsellable. One of those freedoms is the freedom of self-defense. And you see why the theory is correct. And I thought I'd never live to see it in my lifetime. I never thought I'd live to see the day where elected officials in America would tell the police to lay down and not respond and allow mobs and looters to go through rape, pillage, and kill Americans and tell the police not to defend them. This is why the Second Amendment is so important. The founders knew that there would be a day in America where you would have an element in power.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tell the police that will demand that they do not defend the American people, and you have to always defend yourself. This is not Minority Report, but Tom Cruise can jump through the window and know when a crime is going to take place. 95% of all crimes have taken place by the time the police get there. Therefore, you must defend yourself. And any man that gives up his right to defend himself has decided to make himself a slave. And this is why now, you see, in the inner cities today, this dystopia going on. What they do first is they disarm the citizenry. Then they defund the police. Then they send in their brown shirts. And then they take over the city and local government, and then they spread it to each city, and that's how they take over the country. This is Marxism 101, working in real time. Go to my website at irontrianglebook.com. Irontrianglebook.com. Buy my book, The Iron Triangle. It'll break it all down, and we will stop these people. I have no doubt, Bill. And the next time they tell you that you are a white supremacist or say something about there's some type of white privilege, you tell them that you are a slave looking for a master. And I refuse to be your master. Go and ask one of your liberal friends to be your master. You tell them that I will help you exercise your freedom. I will show you how to do it. But I will no longer live in condemnation for you. As a Christian man, I cannot be a victim. And as a white Christian, you cannot live in condemnation.
No.
We stand strong. And tell them to start crying and slobbering and talking about how scared they are and stand up and be men.
Vince Ellison, I tell you what, if that's the attitude prevalent in the black community going forward, all of America is going to be better. I do not want to be a slave, and I do not want to be a master. I want to be a great American. Vince Ellison, the book is The Iron Triangle. Thank you again for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show. And my friend, let's do it again. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, Bill. Call me anytime.
God bless America. Well, let's continue. Bill Cunningham, News Radio 700 WLW. Now, Billy Cunningham, I spoke to Paul Luck briefly. If the lines are busy at McKinley Mortgage, go online at BestLowRates.com. Now's the time to refinance. But with Matt's permission, we have Bonnie's been there for about 2 hours. We got to get to her. But we have three lines open. If you call now, I'll go to the fast break between now and 2:50 when Reds baseball takes over for a double dip. If the Reds win the two games today, they must go 9-4 the next 10 games. They win two today. Oh, that means they got to go 7-4, which is more likely. They must win today. But if you call now, we'll get you on and give each person about 45 seconds to a minute. The fast break is underway with Ted McKay. What are your thoughts on professional athletes using their platforms to advance an agenda, Black Lives Matter, Inc., which is factually inaccurate and which tends to hurt rather than help the black community and causes many others to be injured because they instigate the contact? 749-7000, call now. Fast break underway, first with Bonnie. Bonnie, first of all, thank you for your patience, and please go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Bonnie.
Okay, can you hear me?
Barely, I can barely hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I've been this for 2 months now.
Wow.
About all this Black Lives thing.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry, Bonnie. Been on there for 2 hours. If she calls back, Matt, move her up the ladder because that woman had something to say. She's waited for 2 hours and 5 minutes to say it, and her phone's breaking up, and I have sympathy for that. We'll go to Rusty first on a cell phone, then many others, 749-7000. You have less than a minute to orate. And let me just pick it up right now. All right, give me your first name and give me your opinion. Go ahead.
Is this for Steve?
No, this is Steve. This is the great. You're live on the air right now, Steve. Go ahead.
The way I look at it, I really don't care what these sports players say or do. Most of them are idiots. Just play the game. That's all I'm interested in. I really don't care what they do.
So when
just
you
play the game.
When you go to La Rosa Pizza and order a pizza, do you want to hear about maybe world hunger? If you go to Domino's to get a pizza, do you want to hear about right-to-life issues? When you go to McDonald's to order something, do you want to know whether or not animals should be used for cosmetic testing? When I go to get a product, a good or a service, I go there for a specific reason. Just know your role, shut your mouth, and play the game. Great comment. Let's continue. We've got Rusty, Ethan, then thousands of others. Rusty, you got 1 minute. Go ahead.
Bill, I just wanted to say that I've been a lifelong sports fan, and I just can't stomach what's going on. The knees, the Reds that took a knee, I'm just not supporting them anymore. I think it's a disgrace to our national anthem. I think it lacks patriotism. And now the NFL doing what they're doing, supporting hate groups, I'm just out. And it's really breaking my heart because I love sports. And I just can't stomach it.
Rusty, do you think the young athletes know the facts to be different and want to trick you into believing something else, or have they not spent the time to educate themselves about the facts, or is it something different? Do you think they're just stupid or uninformed or both?
Well, I think that it's just a sense of entitlement somewhat. I believe that they feel like that their opinions matter more than others, and I'm all about peaceful protest if they could do it in a way without being disrespectful to our country and our national anthem. I'm all about that. I don't even mind that they want to sing another song for their anthem. That's okay with me. Just don't respect the soldiers that are willing to bleed and die on the battlefield for the freedoms we have. Don't disrespect them.
Rusty, are there enough Americans like you to vote November the 3rd, or do you think the media is educating and miseducating so many people, also because of the failures of our public education system, that all is lost?
Well, I certainly am always an optimist. I hope that not all is lost. I hope that people can see through the media and their left-wing agenda and realize that, hey, we're better off now than we were 4 years ago, not with, with everything that's going on right now, that's been driven mainly by the media and by the left. But as far as the economy and where we were at before the pandemic hit and all that, I think that, that the love that Trump has for this country hopefully will shine forth when it comes Election Day.
Rusty, I pray to God you're correct. Let's move on now to Ethan on the cell phone. The fast break is underway with Ted McKay till 2:50. Reds baseball comes on a double dip. Ethan on the cell phone, then Eric. Ethan, go ahead.
Hey, Willie, just wanted to get your opinion on the two police officers that were shot this weekend and if you thought the NFL was going to do anything or any professional athlete was going to honor them in any way.
Of course not. It doesn't fit their agenda. That individual who walked away from a Black Lives Matter protest was so fueled by the hatred in that protest that he sought out to murder two in uniform L.A. County sheriffs. And when their bodies, fortunately still with beating hearts, got to the hospital at St. Francis in Compton, California, a large number of Black Lives Matter protesters tried to form a line to keep the hospitals from going in. And when the doctors are treating the injured, mortally wounded police officers, they started shouting, "We hope they all die. Kill cops." And that's the organization that is promoted by certain Reds baseball players as a legitimate civil rights group, which is Black Lives Matter, which it is not. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Eric, then Bill, and thousands of others. Eric, on a cell phone, please go ahead.
The biggest killer of black males is other black males. Now, why can't just one white or black professional athlete acknowledge that? That's my comment.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. A football player, Tyler Eifert, former Bengal, wore on the back of his helmet yesterday a Captain David Dorn, who was a 38-year veteran in St. Louis that was murdered during a Black Lives Matter protest. And when you look at the actual reality of the matter, there's about 8,000 black men who kill 8,000 other black men every year. The percent killed by police officers that are unarmed is under 0.1%. So when you put on a graph under 0.1, then put on the other side 8,000 killed, that doesn't fit the media agenda. And I would like to think, to be kind, that the Reds players and the Bengal players and LeBron James, etc., are simply ignorant of the facts because all they do is listen to the media and to their compatriots and doesn't look at the studies done by the Department of Justice, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the New York Times, Harvard, University of Maryland, and Michigan State, all that demonstrate exactly the same thing, that more than twice as many killed by police are white. Certainly, almost all of them are worthwhile. They should have been. And even black men that are killed by police, the overwhelming majority were armed and trying to kill others at the point they were shot. And so there's not an epidemic of police shootings of African Americans, according to the facts. But when the facts don't fit your opinion, simply ignore the facts. So, you know, I'll be charitable to a large extent, Eric, and say that maybe the Reds players who promote Black Lives Matter, et cetera, simply are ignorant to the facts, and they want to believe what they hear on CNN. And I would like to think it's not the opposite, which is they know what's going on, and they want to mislead the easily misled into believing lies. I'll try to be charitable. Let's continue. We never stop. We simply continue. Let's go to Bill and then Philip and Jennifer. Let's go to Bill. You have about 1 minute. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Willie?
Great day to be an American.
In the NFL, you've heard that phrase, any given Sunday?
Yep.
There's a new phrase for the Bengals. They screw up every given Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, according to Matt Steinman, brighter days lie ahead. That's what he believes. And I'll say this, Thursday night in Cleveland, there'll be one team leaving as viable. That'll be the winner of that game. And if the Bengalis on Thursday night do not walk away from Cleveland with a victory, when that Cleveland team really stinks, look, they got beat by Baltimore like 74-2 or something. then the Bengals are in real trouble. And I said to Joe Burrow, you're not a Tiger anymore, you're a Bengal. And I pray to God he's not Bengalized. So let's continue with more. Coming up in a few minutes will be the Inside Pitch and More, hosted by Rachel and also Brennerman and Jones on baseball. And let's hope the Reds can win two this afternoon and evening. 250, home of your Reds. News Radio 700, WLW, Cincinnati.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.